Amen. We're going to continue our discipleship lessons. And today's topic is going to be about spiritual healing. And I just wanted to remind us of what took place at the old rugged cross. We live in a generation today that seems to become more and more silent about the victory that was accomplished at Calvary. And silent in preaching messages regarding the power of the cross. And silent in preaching about how sin will destroy you and separate you from Jesus Christ. But I am here today to remind you that, ladies and gentlemen, the old rugged cross still makes a difference today. And again, it seems to me personally that there are churches and religious groups that no longer talk about what happened at Calvary and what the purpose of Calvary was about. Again, it was at Calvary on an old rugged cross that made a difference for a sinner like me. You see, I was a shell of a man seemingly without any hope. And sin had me so bound in my mind thinking that no way could I ever be forgiven of my sins and for any kind of purpose to be developed in my life. And I'm sure such were some of you. However, one day I can remember the very service that God proved to me His unconditional love. And He began to pull and to tug at my heart. And He began to convict my heart. And I found myself given an opportunity to find an altar and there again, I was reminded of an old rugged cross. That cross experience where blood was shed for the remission of my sins. You see, I was spiritually sick and I needed healing in my body. And I thank God for His word and for conviction and for the old rugged cross. And again, I'll say this several times perhaps, but I believe that the message of the cross is still as powerful and relevant and compelling as it has ever been before. Romans 5 and 12 says this, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, and for that all have sinned." Again, the Bible reminds us, it tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But it would take blood from a spotless lamb. It would take blood from a sinless man. In other words, it would take the blood from Jesus Christ for our sins to be completely washed away. In Leviticus 17 and 11, it says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." The cross became symbolic to an altar in which God chose to offer the ultimate sacrifice for the atonement and remission of sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." 1 John 4:9 and 10 says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Again, the cross, that event, it took an agonizing and painful experience at Calvary for Jesus to be hung on an old rugged cross. But yet He did it anyway. Isaiah 53 verses 3 through 7 says this, "He is despised and rejected of men. He is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from Him, and He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." And Pastor read this last night, "But He was wounded for our transgressions, and He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Amen. Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Again, it took the commitment, it took the willingness, the obedience, and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to allow himself to fulfill the will of God for his creation and for innocent blood to be shed on the behalf of mankind. It was not an easy task to accomplish. In fact, Jesus was praying in the garden one evening and asking to please let this bitter cup pass and to let this crucifixion process to be passed from him. Howbeit, Jesus said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Again, ladies and gentlemen, it took pure love for Jesus to continue and to allow himself to be hung on an old rugged cross. And Jesus was able to look into the future and understand how many souls would need the power of his shed blood. Again, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Again, referring back to Leviticus 17, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make it an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. You see, the life that flows in the blood of Jesus are things like holiness and separation from the world and taking up your cross every day and dying out to the carnal nature. The precious blood of Jesus has an overcoming power that is compared to nothing. Sin cannot stand against the power of Jesus' blood. The devil cannot cross the bloodline of Jesus. When the devil sees the blood of Jesus, he knows that he cannot touch you because you have been redeemed by the precious, pure blood of Jesus Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, if you have repented of your sins and you have been water baptized in the name of Jesus, in which the blood of Jesus is applied to your life, and you have received the infilling of the Holy Ghost, then, my friend, you have something today to celebrate about. You are now a child of the living King. His royal blood now flows through your veins. And ladies and gentlemen, let me encourage someone in this place today. You do not have to live under the condemnation of sin, because there is power, wonder-working power, in the blood of Jesus. Amen. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. And again, I am so thankful today for what Jesus accomplished at Calvary on my behalf. Because I'll say it again, the cross made a difference in my life. It's because of his shed blood that I am forgiven. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus Christ? But perhaps there is someone in this place today. And here's where I want to focus for the next few moments here. We are to be talking about spiritual healing. And I just wanted to let you understand that there is still power in the blood of Jesus. But again, perhaps there is someone in this place today and you have been attacked by the enemy of your soul, and just maybe he has been presenting some things to you. Things like perhaps a poor choice that you may have made, and he has been pounding your heart with condemnation and aggressively trying to tell you that God will not forgive you. But can I remind you of a scripture today in 1 John 1 and 9? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But perhaps there are someone in this place today that you have been wounded by someone, either by their words or their actions, and maybe you've allowed it to affect you. And if you are not careful, listen to me, if you are not careful, then spiritual infection can set in. And here's again where I want to bring this to a point today, but infection. Infections in the physical sense is what happens when germs invade your body and can cause sickness. And if you've ever scraped your knee or elbow or whatever and ended up with a swollen, achy scab, then you know that you can develop an infection. And if you don't tend to that cut, if you don't take care of it and clean it, then there's a chance that bacteria and an infection will go all throughout your body. This is why, ladies and gentlemen, in the spirit realm of things, if you ever do get hurt or wounded, you need to immediately plead the blood of Jesus over your mind and over your life, because the blood of Jesus is the only antibiotic that will heal you and cleanse you from infection that sets in and potentially destroying your spiritual life. And this is not in my notes, and my notes are messing me up, but let me just share something with you here. I've got to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. And I hate bringing things that brings attention to me. This has nothing to do with me, but speaking of infection, at the beginning of this year, most of you are aware that I had become very sick, and at first all we thought it was just a gallbladder issue, and those of you that's had challenges with a gallbladder, you understand all the intense pain and the fevers and how it makes you feel. It's not very pleasant, I promise you. And I'll try to shorten this up because there is a point that I want to make. But during that first phase, they got me in, took care of me, removed my gallbladder, stitched me back up, let me recover in the hospital bed for a day or two, thought everything was okay. But what had happened is after they had sent me home, something happened to me that they didn't realize. And again, the same symptoms just came back. And I had high temperatures, close to 106, was delusional, and all this stuff was going on. And so they rushed me back to the hospital. And what had happened was, is when they had removed that gallbladder, they didn't see that behind that gallbladder had a huge abscess had formed. They didn't catch that. And it was a pretty good size abscess pocket. And the thing that I want to try to bring this to a point is this. Sometimes in life, we think that everything's okay, and we try to ask God to help us through things, and we think that we're okay with such and such issue. But sometimes, if we're not careful, things can be left unnoticed. And what had happened was this abscess, they told me, they said, Brent, if you was at home and that abscess was to ever break, you would have less than 2 hours to get to the hospital, and they would have to rip you from here down to here and spread your body cavity wide open and just start soaking you with antibiotics. Now, that'll scare you, because what was going on is if that infection was to get inside me, then basically it would have been over. But there was just a little bitty tiny leak that had happened, and I had three different bacteria flowing in my blood cell, and I became septic. And they was very concerned about me. But as I was thinking about this just now when I mentioned this word infection, I'm recalled to go back about how concerned they was with this infection. And again, I know we're to talk about spiritual healing here today. And sometimes I know that, and it was mentioned Wednesday night, And what a powerful move of the Holy Ghost come in. And we know that spiritual healing took place and people's lives was touched. But I still feel, and I can't get away from this, and Pastor has mentioned this too, but and maybe there's someone in here today, or maybe, I don't know, but somebody must need to hear what's going on. But again, it's going to happen. We're going to get hurt. Things are going to happen. But here's what happens. If we don't take care of that hurt immediately, whether it was intentional or unintentional, if we don't respond correctly, if we don't take that wound and do something with it, clean it, purify it, ask God to help us, God help me to be a forgiver, don't let me harbor bitterness and resentment. Because what will happen, ladies and gentlemen, if you allow infections like bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness, if you allow that stuff to get inside your earthen vessel and inside your mind and in your heart, you're going to become spiritually infected. And if you don't take care of that, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to end up in a place that you don't want to be. Most times, we had a pet dog one time, and I couldn't find her. Don't know what happened. I was searching and searching, and something happened. I found her laying in a ditch. And her name was Barney. Randy, you probably remember Barney. But she had got so sick and so afflicted that she didn't want to be around anybody. She didn't want anybody to see what she was going through and suffering. So what she done is she separated. She removed herself from our home. And I got to thinking about that this morning. And it's like sometimes that's what happens. If we don't take care of those infections, those wounds immediately, the devil, the enemy of your souls, first reaction to you is to try to convince you to leave the church house. Nobody there loves you. Nobody cares for you. You're being judged and all this. The devil is a liar, first of all. Anytime you start entertaining thoughts like that, you have to understand that is not the voice of God, but it comes from the enemy of your soul. But the enemy of your soul wants you to get in an infection to where you will remove yourself from this local flock, and that you will disappear, and that you will try to survive on your own. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot survive all alone. You need this church body. You need the man of God in your life. You need to have God active in your life. But ladies and gentlemen, if you are in this place today, please don't harbor all of these bacterias, all of these viruses. Don't become infected to where it draws you away from the church. But let God, like Psalms 23:3 says, He restoreth my soul, Brother John. God can restore you in this place today. That word restore means He can take you. He can work on you and take you back to your original state when you first received the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And I pray to God that I never, never forget where He brought me from. I pray that I will never, never lose that joy of my salvation. But when we allow infection to get a hold of us, and we become septic, per se, we are in a dangerous state. But today, ladies and gentlemen, in this simple thought today, that's why I wanted to sing this song, thank God for the blood, and thank God for what happened at Calvary. Jesus, our Creator, loved you enough and seen far enough into the future, knowing that sin was going to abound. But my word says where sin abounds, that grace does much more abound. Jesus cares for you. He loves you. He's concerned about you. But ladies and gentlemen, you've seen it. I've seen it. We have lost loved ones that's not here any longer because for whatever reason they allowed infection to spread in their body and they didn't take care of it immediately. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. I'm nothing. I'm just a man. I'm your brother. You're my sister. I hope and pray that if I ever notice, not trying to be nosy, but if I ever sense that something's going on in your world, that I would be sensitive enough and in love to come up to you, wrap my arm around you and say, hey, you're important to me. Hey, I care about you. Hey, I don't know what's going on, but you've got someone praying for you. It's not my job to say, hey, you're infected. Get out of my circle. I don't want you. You may be contagious. That's not godly love. But godly love is somebody who'll say, hey, we can do this. We can make it, and just know that I'm praying for you. You see, those doctors tried every antibiotic that they could when I was in the hospital. They tried everything that they could, and they were scratching their head because they couldn't find the right antibiotic. They was going to have to ship me off to St. Louis. This was on a Sunday. That Monday morning, they was going to ship me off because they had wiped their hands. It's like we can't do anything more. But I know that this church had prayer for me. And the antibiotics that man tried couldn't do it. But Jesus Christ, in the antibiotic of his healing power, come and touched my life. And I made a full recovery. Ladies and gentlemen, he loves you. He loves you. He allowed you to wake up today and be reminded that mercy was renewed in your life today, and that his grace and his mercy will be sufficient for you today. If you're in this place today and maybe you're carrying a wounded spirit, let me tell you that you are in the right place at the right time, and that you can be healed spiritually. Let God get a hold of you and let him restore you. How long has it been since you've actually felt that genuine joy? How long has it been? You see, when you get infected, you'll slack off on your daily routines. You'll stop reading the Word, and you'll catch yourself no longer talking to your Creator. And you'll stop being thankful for things in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a dangerous area. The devil, again, he wants to get you out there all alone and by yourself where you're unprotected and you're out there desolate. And you know this as well as I do. I'm preaching to the choir here, but nothing out there loves you as much as he loves you. Come on. I thank God for the blood that he shed. Because he looked far enough into the future and said, I know, I don't know what I was thinking when I created Brent Medley. It's kind of like I repented. You've read those scriptures. I repented that I made him. But I'm glad he didn't say that to us here today. But he's like, you know what? I've got a way. I've got a method. I've got the right antibiotic that if and when Brent ever needs me, I'm just a call away. And all I've got to do is say, Jesus, Jesus, that Son of David, have mercy on me. And if you're in this place today, don't hesitate to call out. Don't be ashamed to say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on my soul. God, I need spiritual healing to take place in this very setting today. God, I'm standing in the need of prayer. There's nothing to be ashamed of acknowledging that. But he is our healer. He is our healer. And he is the lover of our soul. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus loves you. Pastor loves you. This church loves you. Stay in the church. Stay connected. And if you have been wounded, then I implore you to please do whatever you can to immediately begin taking care of that. Start cleansing that. And you cleanse that by submitting your will to his will and saying, God, I don't understand why this was said or why this was done. Maybe it was intentional. Maybe it was not intentional. but God, I forgive. And that's a funny thing about forgiveness. Sometimes it's easy for us to accept forgiveness from God, but one of the biggest battles is us forgiving ourselves. It's even sometimes easy to forgive others, but sometimes when we look at what we've allowed ourselves to do or to become, it's so hard for us to forgive ourselves because we feel like we've disappointed Him in such a way that He would be ashamed to call me son, to call you His daughter. He's not ashamed of you. He's made a way for you. And He will always, always come looking for you. Brother Gardner, He came looking for you. And we've all been that one that got separated from that 99, and everybody's stuck together over here and doing their thing, and sometimes because of distraction or whatever, we end up out here by ourselves. We've all been there. But the good shepherd said, hey, I'm missing somebody. You all just stay right here. You continue to pray and commit and sacrifice and worship and do what you know to do. But we're missing somebody. And so the shepherd left the flock to come and find that one. And ladies and gentlemen, again, you and I were that lost one. And Jesus come looking for us. Aren't you thankful that He came looking for you? Amen. Why don't we just stand all over this congregation, and would you just lift up your hands, and would you just tell Him how much that you love Him, and would you just allow His spiritual virtue to do a great and mighty work in your life today? And if you're in this place and you're spiritually sick, you're spiritually ill, let Him restore you today. Just call upon the name of Jesus and plead the blood of Jesus over your life. Plead the blood over your marriage. Plead the blood over your family. Plead the blood over your finances. And let Him do His great work today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. I was singing this morning, last night or this morning, one of it was, and I can't remember all the songs, and I don't expect you to play this, but if you can find that, this song, it's something like, sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul. Holy Spirit, just sweep over my soul. And I forgot the rest of the words, but I was just singing that. Maybe that's it. Peace, peace. There you go. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. My rest is complete as I sit at Thy feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. I thank God for His peace. And I feel His peace being ushered into this congregation. And if you will just accept that, God could do a great and mighty work in your life today. Amen. God would love to do some spiritual healing in this place today. And He is here. And He wants to touch you. And He wants to restore you. Amen. Again, Lord, thank You for Your word today. I trust, Lord, that You have spoke through me and that You have ministered and touched the lives that's in this congregation today. Lord, You are our healer, and I'm so thankful that You come looking for me. I'm thankful for Your word. I'm thank You, Lord, for this church and this church family. I thank You, Lord, for my pastor and for my bishop. Lord, this is so good just to be here in Your presence. I ask You, Lord, that You would be with us the rest of this day, and we want Your perfect will to be accomplished in this service. Amen. Thank You, Jesus.